Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Trent Hoff down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we've got an interesting interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy. And then lastly, we're talking smallmouth bass with one of the fishing guides from over in Minocqua, Russ Smith. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
You could literally drive to a boat show every weekend. Hi, this is Johnny from Hayward Power Sports. Go ahead, have some fun, check them out, then come see us. Their salesmen want you to believe that they get the best prices from the manufacturer and are offering show-only deals. The truth is, our sales volume allows us to buy boats at the same discounts as the big city dealers. And Hayward Power Sports has a huge selection of new Lund and Tracker fishing boats. Plus, we have our largest selection ever of pontoons in stock with gorgeous Benningtons and the number one selling pontoons in the world, Sun Tracker. Hayward Power Sports also carries every major outboard with Honda, Yamaha, Evinrude, Suzuki, and Mercury, with the best warranty offers of the year going on now. And while the boat show finds you the best financing for the dealer, we work with our banks to get the best financing for you. Our boat show is continuous, so come see us today at Hayward Power Sports. There's 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or at haywardpowersports.com.
Have more fun than ever before at Hayward Power Sports. Let's have some fun!
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu, and while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, right next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and again, I've got Trent Hoff in here as a helping co-host. Good morning, Trent.
Good morning, John.
And we're past the game fish season closure now, and it's panfish only. I think you still can fish bass. There has been a debate on it. I know the law goes into effect April 1st, but I know some of the people in DNR said that the people are still, it's still open, so I know that's kind of a question there. But you still got Lake Superior fishing going on. There's people out ice fishing yet.
Oh, definitely. Actually, yeah, Shawamigan Bay on the south shore, you can still get up there and game fish. The St. Croix River, you'll be able to fish walleye over there. I mean, so there still are areas you can get out and enjoy that. But around here, a bit more localized, the panfish, and it's a key time to be out there on the ice. And if we haven't already, we should start to see the perch starting to come in here fairly soon to start spawning as well.
You know, I know they spawn right away just after ice out up shallow, so they're staging just outside those areas, those bays that have some old remaining weeds and stuff, because they spawn in them old weeds and stuff. But you got that, and then bluegill and the crappie fishing should be quite good all the way through.
Yeah, actually, we have heard a few guys still say that the crappies still are in those basins on some lakes. However, from my experience, I fish some smaller lakes typically, and I have started to notice a little bit of a trend where the crappies and the bluegills have moved just slightly shallower, about 5 to 10 feet shallower, depending, maybe about 10 feet shallower instead of 30. I've been finding them at 20 feet on these small lakes, and for bluegill, instead of about 20, typically around 15.
You know, actually, we found them closer to the spawning areas too, but not way out the far end of the basin, but they're still fairly deep where we were at. We were anywhere from 15 to 20 feet we were getting them.
Certainly, and actually, there's a lot of good presentations you can fish for panfish this time of year. You know, of course, you are going to see the bigger crappies want to come up and hit that bait typically this time of year, but the perch, you still like to work that bottom and just work that sediment and get that rustled up to attract those perch.
You bet. Well, it'd be a lot of good pan fishing, and also the last Saturday of the month, I believe it is, the steelhead season opens on the South Shore Stream.
Very fun fish. If you like a bigger target, that's definitely a good time to be out there.
Wonder though, with all the snowpack, that could be variable, and that's always affected by how clean or dirty the rivers are running. And up there, they tend to get kind of clay colored looking, a lot of them.
Yeah, they certainly do, John. I lived up there for a few years, and I always just I followed the crowd. You know, it's pretty easy to tell when they start running, because you will definitely see fishermen gathering in hordes around those rivers.
You know, and then you'll eventually have open water, and I know some people will be heading over toward the Fox River, over toward Green Bay, and some people in Mississippi if their water don't get too high. You also got the turkey season. The first turkey season's out there. The youth season will be April 11th and 12th, and the first turkey season starts on the 15th April, so that's really not that far off.
No, not at all. And we already have started to experience a warming trend, and the long-range forecast is very promising as well. It might be a little too early to jump the gun and say this, but I'm thinking, you know, we probably could expect a fairly early ice out, and also to get rid of a lot of the snow. If you do plan on getting out there turkey hunting this spring, we do have calls and a few other turkey accessories on sale.
And if you look at the long-term forecast, I do agree with you. It looks like we'll have an early ice out this year. You know, and talk about some other things. I know Max Walter is having his annual Sawyer County Fisheries Forum. That'll be coming up March 24th, and that will be at Hayward High School Auditorium. And it'll be the 24th, a Tuesday, at 6 o'clock. Everybody should be there. You know, it's always an interesting thing. I'm hoping I can get video of it to put up on YouTube like I have in the past, but you know, it's just an interesting event.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity.
And I know, let's talk about down here at Hayward Bait. You guys are starting to gear up stuff, getting stuff in for the open water, but you've got some things on sale too here.
Yeah, certainly. We still are running a sale on our augers and electronics. Ice shacks also, we've got some good prices on right now too. And as I mentioned earlier, turkey season's coming up. We do have calls and things of that nature on sale too. So there you go.
Complete sports shop. Hayward's most complete outfitter shop for anything you want to do outdoors.
We get a lot of people that say it definitely is a lot bigger on the inside than it is on the outside.
You bet. Lots of stuff in here. Anyway, we're going to take a break right now and hear from some of our fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. Come back. We've got an interesting interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hunters and anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And myself, John Myrie, and helping out today is Trent Hoff. And Trent, you know, Eric's guiding. He's been up here for a few years now, and he's getting to be a fairly popular guide, very good fisherman.
Oh, absolutely. I love to talk with him, you know, exchange tips and things of that nature. Usually he's got a few more than I do, but he's a fly fisherman as well. He loves the muskie on the fly, and kind of starting to share that same passion myself. If that's something you're interested in, he's a good guy to get a hold of.
Yeah, fly fishing is kind of fun. You go after panfish with him. I've caught lots of bluegills on them panfish, on the fly rods. Anyway, let's hear that interview with Eric, and we come back. I've got another interesting interview, and we'll have a wrap-up on the show. We're talking to Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy. And Eric, I know you've been up here guiding for a while now.
Absolutely, John. Going on my fifth year open water guiding, owning my own business and operating my own business, but Have been up in the Hayward area now about 9 years, and on and off guiding in between then too.
Yeah, where did you move in from, and where'd you come from? You got a lot of years fishing experience. I know that way before that.
Yeah, so I grew up west of the Twin Cities, and my passion for fishing grew as I worked at one of the big outdoor retailers up there, and was in school or college up in Bemidji, Minnesota. Of course, is another fantastic fishing area up there, especially on the musky front of things, and the passion for fishing and being on the water grew and grew. Still managed to get done with school in 4.5 years, and spent a summer season out in the Hayward area, guiding with an area outfitter and kind of cutting my teeth on learning a little bit of the area and the fishery. And from there, once I completed my schooling, I decided to move on out here. I was caretaking for a little lodge, kind of just helping out with odds and ends around there, and fishing every chance I could, and just have been pursuing it ever since.
I know that you fish with conventional gear, but you also kind of specialize in fly tackle and fly fishing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I came to the Hayward area as a fly angler through and through. After, you know, a couple years of, you know, trying to gain more fly anglers in the boat and, you know, showing them an experience that are on the lakes versus, say, the rivers, you know, I soon learned that to fill a little bit more of the gap in the void as a guide, you got to be very well versed, and taking on conventional tackle, you know, I already had a background in, but taking that on to be able to take clients out doing so, made it all worthwhile and keeps me busy. So,
well, Eric, you know, the weather's really starting to switch around right now, and we're going to be looking at open water fishing before we know it here. You know, we're talking about spring fishing. It's time to start actually thinking about getting prepped for that too.
Oh, absolutely, John. You know, we're still ice fishing here up in the Hayward area. Our big game season just recently has closed up, but we still have good ice for a little while yet. And as these temperatures are warming, though, I know I'm starting to dust off some of the spinning rods I had stored away, starting to go through tackle, really, honestly, because there's some things in my summertime tackle that might translate into ice fishing. And so I need to kind of go back, go and just start, you know, Organizing.
I find that a lot of the stuff when it comes to panfish, especially once they move out into that deeper water, correlates real close to what we're doing when we're ice fishing.
Oh, absolutely, John. And, you know, there's, you know, little Rapalas and other, you know, jigging wrap style lures that we use all winter long that, you know, are definitely great to have in the open water season.
Let's talk about, you know, some of the ice out stuff. Once we get ice out, panfish, that'll be one of the first things that people start looking for. And we'll have open water, the first open water we'll have probably will be rivers, and then we'll get eventually lakes open up. But let's talk about ice out panfish. I mean, those fish are pretty active right away after ice out a lot of times if you know where to look.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the biggest things I think that helps me along with trying to find the most active fish in the early part of the year. You know, generally, the north end of a lake is going to get the most sun exposure. So you can kind of use your electronics to start searching for the warmest water. If you have a river system coming in, sometimes that river system is putting in some warmer water, but little bays and little fingers, and it could be just a matter of a couple degrees, John, as you know, and that is the difference of being on fish or not on fish.
Well, sometimes, too, a good pair of polarized glasses is worth their weight in gold out there that time of year.
Absolutely, and you never know how shallow they can be, but I always like to work out from the depths and slowly kind of start chopping my way in, just so I'm not spooking fish as I do creep in. But, again, it's truly primarily based upon water temperature, if anything.
Yeah, it's water temperature. Actually, you watch them out there out in 12, 14 feet of water. They'll come vertically first, and then they move horizontally toward the shoreline.
Ain't that something?
Yeah, I bet. And, you know, and as far as the tackle, what are you looking for using that time of the year early?
Well, sometimes little search lures, like, you know, the good old-fashioned hairpins with, like, a beetle spin, you know, you can actually pause and hesitate, let that thing get a little bit deeper if need be if you're working off a break line. If you know you have active fish in the area, and they're, you know, maybe suspended, but they're moving around willing to chase and eat a bait. You know, some of the little original Raffles, other small style crankbaits can work great too. A jig in a plastic, you know, even just under a slip bobber rig and slowly jigging and working that way back. That way you're able to cover a wide area of the water. If you're sneaking up in the shallows, you might want to go a little bit lighter and just go into a real plain jig with some type of panfish plastic even.
You bet. You know, and that panfish is just one thing. Now we're going to be able to, I don't know if I agree with the rule or not, but we're going to be able to fish bass early in the season. And, you know, sometimes you can catch bass during that early part of the season.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, just a matter of if our, you know, Conservation Congress or whoever's hands it's in at this point in time and allowing for that to pass. And I think it could be really good in some ways, and I think it could be maybe, you know, could hurt in another couple ways. And the biggest thing is that I think anglers being educated, if this does pass, that, you know, let's, you know, still practice safe handling. These fish have not spawned yet, and, you know, really trying to be conscious of how we handle and fighting these fish, everything that goes with it, so.
You bet, and especially if you're looking at using live bait, because if you use live bait, boy, I'll tell you, you can hook a fish deep too often.
Yep, and, you know, that goes back to even having proper release tools, you know, having a decent net all the way down to your hemostats and maybe even a hook cutter if need be. Sacrifice maybe a jig and cut that hook if need be, and, you know, that fish is swimming another day and able to, you know, be a part of the ecosystem that it just came up from.
Once we get into the summertime or a little bit later in the spring, we got a lot of different options out there too, though, because once we get to the fishing opener.
Oh, absolutely. As many of the guides, as well as myself, May into June is an exciting time of the year. There's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of different changes going on. You know, the walleyes are very active in that time of month of May. We're typically looking at post-spawn fish, so they have already spawned. Our smallmouth bass and largemouth bass, they are catch and release in our northern zone, but they are pre-spawn. They tend to get extremely active. We're able to use a lot of search and hunt baits. As you know, John, it's one of my favorite species to go for. And as well as at the end of May, we look forward to musky opener.
Lake Superior. Let's talk about Lake Superior a little bit. You know, as soon as we get some of the ice starting to go out, we get, even before the ice goes out, you'll have the steelhead season up there. And then from there, we go into trolling as we get ice out and everything else.
Yeah, absolutely, John. And, you know, our south shore has a number of rivers and streams that are a part of that steelhead run. Be conscious to take a look at your regulations. Make sure you have all your licensing to be able to do so. Get out there, enjoy some of that springtime in the rivers, chasing chrome. We have fish that have been in there since the fall, and as spring progresses, we should only start to see more and more fish coming into the rivers. As the Lake Superior opens up, it'll definitely lend itself to a lot of really great trolling options for anglers out there. Pretty simple tackle. Most of your walleye trolling stuff that you'd use over the summertime is going to be ideal for that early spring trolling on Superior.
Looking at the steelhead, you got any good tips for guys on some things that could help them catch steelhead when they've never done it before, or if they do it and want to get better at it?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is generally bottom contact. You need, these fish are staged anywhere from a super deep hole that's maybe 6 feet or more to as well as maybe a shallow is only a foot in a riffle run. But the biggest thing is bottom contact and always having contact with, you know, whatever lures or flies that you might be using. And some type of bobber or indicator, something that's going to let you know, okay, maybe I nicked a branch or something, but if I nick anything or I see that move, I need to be able to set the hook. And because sometimes they just pick it up ever so lightly in those little runs and pools. So
even when you're fishing bait, the longer rods really help in so much as you can keep that bait up and drifting along the bottom.
Yep, exactly. Keeping your line, you know, maybe where the line wouldn't be dragging, and kind of high stick with a longer rod for steelhead. There's some tackle that, you know, works really, really well that will, you know, more specialize in being able to target those fish.
Well, Eric, I know that you guide for just about everything. You kind of like to specialize for muskies a little bit if you can, but you fish everything else?
Yeah, muskies are definitely what is my forte. But smallmouth bass, I have a huge love for. We have some really unique, various types of water up here that have smallmouth bass. But every once in a while, I might, you know, have something that's a little more unique. Even chasing carp, dogfish. I mean, there's a lot of just cool stuff out there that's worth trying to catch.
Dogfish, I know she mentioned that. Somebody was just telling me the other day they saw a video and said, I got to go after them fish. They put up a big scrap.
You know, they're one of our most native fish to all our bodies of water. They're still actually seen as invasive to some degree, and some anglers don't like them. But, I mean, you might as well pull your musky gear out and be fishing big, heavy bass stuff for these dogfish because you need the power.
Yeah, well, any fish tugging on the line to me is fun. I just like to catch fish and the challenge of trying to figure out what it's going to take to catch them.
Oh, absolutely. That's what drives us every day, John.
You bet. Eric, I want to thank you for coming on here. You want to give out some guide information, somebody looking to come out with you during either the open water or hard water season?
Absolutely, John. They can reach me at 612-384-9127 or online at catchandcapture.com.
I want to thank you again for coming on here.
Thank you, John.
Well, it was interesting talking to Eric there. You know, we have to take another break and hear from more of the fine sponsors that help make the show possible every week. Come back. I've got an interesting interview with Minocqua Area Fishing Guide Russ Smith, or they call him Smitty. Actually has the Smitty-based musky lures. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Carlson Motorsports is Hayward's newest auto dealership. If you're looking for a used vehicle, stop in today. Carlson Motorsports is located just north of the intersection of Highway 63 and 77 on Windrose Lane. Give them a call today at 715-634-1347.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors with myself, John Myrie, and helping out co-host today. We've got Trent Hoff down here at Hayward Bait. And, you know, there's a lot of different people, a lot of guides all over the country. I know one of them, actually in the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame as a legendary guide, is a guy they call Smitty, Russ Smith, and his son's actually guiding. He's over in Minocqua. So there's a lot of guides up all over northern Wisconsin.
Oh, certainly. Actually, it's kind of surprising to learn the names that come out of this area, you know, and even some that don't, that like to come to this area to fish. Just great fisheries all around the area, and it does attract quite a range of fishermen.
Well, you know, one of the biggest names in fishing are Al and Ron Lindner, and they started their fishing careers here in Hayward.
Oh gosh, and they do have some really cool videos on YouTube to watch as well, especially got a lot of good ice fishing videos out there, and of course we do have some season left, so if you're looking to pick up a few pointers, check them out.
Well, let's hear that interview we got with Smitty, and we'll come back with a wrap up on the show.
Well, Russ, you know, I want to talk a little bit about smallmouth bass to you. I mean, one of the things that's been a huge success up here, but our smallmouth bass fishery is nothing short of fantastic all across northern Wisconsin.
Oh, for sure, John. It's actually world-class fishing smallmouth in Wisconsin like we've never had before, and not just a lot of numbers, but there's also many lakes that have super trophy bass that people would die for to see smallmouth bass fishing like that in our part of the country here.
What kind of tips can you give guys to be more successful at catching those smallmouth? They're a little different than fishing for largemouth.
Well, yeah, they're a lot different than largemouth, because largemouth are more weed orientated, and smallmouth like hard rocky bottom and stuff like that. So yeah, well, in the spring sometimes when the season isn't even open and it's legal in Wisconsin to pre-fish, we'll fish some of the shallower rocky shorelines with light tackle, and it's a blast to catch some of these fish that are over 20, 22-inch smallies. As the season goes on, then you got to start moving out. As you get into the summer season, a lot of times we're catching the smallies down in 20 to 24 feet. So it's a lot different ball game than largemouth.
You bet. You know, and I like the time in the late fall. I mean, we did real well last year, way late in the fall, fishing in the northern pike suckers for bait for smallmouth.
Oh, yeah, they love that big stuff later in the year like that. And talking about depth, like I said, 24 feet in summer, I've caught some on sucker minnows like in 30, 35 feet of water in the late fall. And usually you can bet that it's a trophy fish. As a matter of fact, I would swear that I had a hold of a big muskie while I had this strike until it fought like a muskie, and all of a sudden it came flying out of the water, and there it was, a 22-inch smallmouth standing on its tail, and it come out of like 35 feet of water in late fall in October.
You know, in conservation, one of the reasons we've got these big smallmouths is there's two reasons, basically. One, the late opener and the season dates, but also the fact that more people are catching and releasing them now.
Oh, catch and release is really, really big with smallmouth. I think just about everybody that I guide for smallmouth fishing are catch and release. And, of course, they are a pretty aggressive fish, so they bite. They're great fighters. They take care of themselves as far as spawning. They guard their nests, their eggs, and their hatch. And that also is what has helped the fishery immensely.
How about smallmouth fishing with a fly rod? That's actually another effective way of getting them, but that's a little shallower presentation.
Oh, yeah. That's, a matter of fact, I do guide some fly guys for smallmouth, and sometimes, like I said, early in the year is a good time when they're accessible because they're shallow, and so you can actually sight fish them sometimes. You'll see where their old beds were, and they're guarding them and this and that. Also, on some of our river systems, our terrific smallmouth fishery with fishing flies, and I've taken fly fishermen on rivers just to target smallmouth bass, and it's a blast.
What are you usually using for flies, streamers or what?
Yeah, we use a lot of streamers, like some of the Royal Coachman bigger ones than that though, and then I tie some up. It looks like a chub, actually. I call it a chub minnow. It's kind of like a brown synthetic hair and weighted head, you know, that has the little eyes that are the little barbell weights, like, so that it sinks at a certain pace, not real fast, but that does sink. So there's different things, like the Clouser minnow is a famous minnow, a replica of a minnow tied with synthetic hair and some feathers, and it's also a good musky type of a fly. So I've caught lots of them on Clousers. That's always been a good one for a smallmouth.
Well, Smitty, I know you still maintain your bait company now, and you work with your son some. Make a lot of different baits, and a lot of stuff still out there.
Oh, yes. We're still making them all out of wood. We're making them all in USA, and all our component parts are USA.
Yeah. And how does anybody get a hold of you if they want information about guiding or your bait company?
Well, they can look at our website. It's smittybait.com.
Thanks a lot, Smitty.
Oh, you're welcome, John. It's my pleasure.
Well, you know, it was interesting listening to Russ talk about smallmouth bass fishing, and it's getting to be quite popular here, too. Smallmouth is one of the fish that seem to be doing extremely well out there.
Yeah, we have been noticing kind of an upwards trend of, you know, people that like to get out there and smallmouth fish, you know, other than your typical walleye fishing that's very popular in the area. You know, it's hard to beat a football with a good fight. You know, we call them football because, of course, that's what they look like, but... you know, warm water, cold water, they put up a heck of a fight, and just fun fish all around.
You bet, and, you know, you'll have to get your fishing licenses. There'll be due here and anything else to get ready. And also think about stocking up your boat or your tackle box for the year, and a lot of the new stuff will be out here in the next couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah, we're just getting a start on getting stuff hung up now, and, you know, I'm looking forward to see all the new product we actually do have this year. Quite a bit new stuff that we didn't have last year, so come on in, check it out. Should have some decent promotions going on as well.
A lot of interesting new stuff out there this year. There's always, it seems like everything, you think, what can they come up with next? But they always seem to.
Well, I know it's been on the market for a little bit here, but one that's been piquing my interest on the smallmouth, since we're on the subject, is the BZ1 rat. It's kind of like a topwater, or it can be subsurface, and it could be a very fun river fishing lure or even lake fishing.
You bet. Well, it's been interesting talking to you here. I want to remind folks that if they miss a show, they can always get that show on our website at wnoradio.net. and from there they can link through to our podcast site. It's also available on Spotify on the phones. But anyway, we're out of time. I want to thank you for coming on here, Trent.
You're welcome. Thank you, John.
And folks, we'll be back again next week with another interesting show.
With me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.